Pictured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
Can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, thank you very much. This is no exaggeration. We could not do this program without you sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. You see something that's wretched, please send it to us along with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. You got a texter machine you like to use instead? 877-282-2337.
All right, this one is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm getting married soon, but I've been troubled by the thought of not being married in heaven. I know marriage is a picture of Christ and His church, but how do I take comfort in knowing that I won't have the same relationship with my wife in heaven?
Yeah, well, actually, you will. You're just going to have it with billions of other people, too. Marriage is a picture of that divine reality, that heavenly reality, that we will be married to Christ and by extension to everybody who's there. No, I'm not talking about Mormonism on steroids. I'm talking about the relationship, obviously non-sexual. It is a closeness, a dearness that we will experience fully in heaven, and marriage is a mere picture of that. It's a fuzzy picture of that reality. So if you're digging marriage and you love your spouse so much, you think, whoa, I'm not going to have that with them in heaven. First of all, I would say that's a good thing you feel that way. Second, I would say you're going to feel that way. It's just you're going to have that relationship with everybody. And I promise you, you're not going to feel like somehow you're betraying your spouse. You're not going to get a brain swipe. You will remember every memory with your spouse. I mean, how weird would this be? You're a born-again Christian, your grandparents, and your kids. At one point you die, you go to heaven. Who are you? My name's Bruce. Well, Bruce, where did you grow up? I grew up in Sweet Hollow in St. Paul, Minnesota. That's weird. My grandpa Bruce, he grew up in Sweet Hollow in St. Paul. What street did you live on? Oak Street. My grandpa lived on. Hey, are you my grandpa? That's ridiculous, isn't it? Furthermore, do you think when you realize, hey, there's my beloved one, that you're not going to remember the relationship that you had and you won't have those memories? Of course you will. You're just going to have them all rightly, and they're all going to be to reflect the goodness of Jesus Christ. So don't feel like, oh, it's going to be a bummer because I'm not going to have something special with your wife. You're going to. Now, as long as the subject of marriage has been brought up, there's a book sitting on my desk, and I am really sorry. I can't think of the name of it. I believe it was written by a Roman Catholic researcher. There's nothing to my knowledge about Roman Catholicism in the book. He just happens to be. And it's a case for marriage that we've got to start persuading young people. Oh, no. The upside. It's huge. It's good to be married because the world keeps telling them, no, it's bad. They get all kinds of scary signals. Hey, somebody got divorced. I don't want to get divorced. What about my stuff? What if it doesn't work out? What if they don't make me happy? And kids, I'm barely adulting as it is. How could I possibly have? We got to start persuading them. Marriage is good and it is to be strived for. And honestly, if for no other reason, there's better and bigger reasons, but if for no other reasons than societal stability, you cannot have an organized culture without marriage. You need these little institutions everywhere. And sociologically, and we've shared some of these studies here, even people who are not believers, even nations that are not Christian, if you will, they flourish more because of marriage. That's just a fact. Why? Well, I like to call it God's spiritual, metaphysical spiritual laws. That there's just stuff he's baked into the fabric of the universe. You can call natural law if you want to. It's the way the place runs. And the place runs better when people are married, even when they're not Christians. Why? Because that's a law. A culture needs marriage. But there's a bigger reason. Marriage is a glorious picture of the gospel. And you have the privilege of preaching the gospel everywhere you go. I grant you, somebody's probably not going to see you walking down the street holding hands, fall down and say, "Tell me about the hope that lies within you." But what are you doing when you show affection like that, love like that, when you serve one another? You're a picture of the gospel, and it is a privilege, and it is a good thing, and it is a profound thing, and it will help you with sanctification. And when I was looking through this book, my particular pet peeve came up in the book about shared bank accounts. If you're not willing to have a joint bank account, there's more going on than just fiscal issues. This is a heart issue. And he was, in this book, citing the statistics that I, again, believe we've shared here, that the couple that's not willing to share their stuff, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, it's now ours. Without that attitude, those marriages either fail or they're not nearly as successful. Why would that be? I would take you back to a metaphysical spiritual law. This is a one flesh affair. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And if you're not acting like that, just not going to go as well. Why? Well, why do you drop a tennis ball and it hits the ground? Because gravity is a part of the fabric of the universe. And so too are some of these metaphysical spiritual laws, or natural law if you prefer. And marriage is one of them. And we need to start screaming about the goodness of marriage. How wonderful of an institution that it is, because the world is telling them just the opposite. 877-282-2337.
All right, well, let's keep it in the realm of marriage. This is a question from Unoya. That's an interesting name. She's asking, Todd, a married couple should be going to the same church together, right? So what about those that are engaged or dating and pretty sure that they do want to marry?
Okay, could you stop for just a moment?
Okay.
I'm not listening to you.
Okay.
How's Unoya spelled? E-U?
E-U-N-O-I-A. Uh-huh.
Okay. If it has a Greek etymology, E-U is well, not European Union. It's well. And then Noia, I wonder, you know, if it's thinking, if it's thoughts. I got to go look up that word in Greek. But I mean, it could mean like pleasant thoughts, something like that.
Hmm.
Okay, I can concentrate now.
Okay, now she says married couples should be going to the same church together. So what about those who are engaged or dating and they're sure they want to marry? Mm. In my situation, we both attend good churches, each with their own failings and strengths. But how do we choose?
Could I just have a minute? I looked up the Greek word.
And you're right. No,
sorry. I'm having a moment here. 4 years weren't for naught. For real, we think they are. You got to get it sorted now. First of all, where do you live that you actually have two good churches? That's outstanding. So count it a blessing. You've got a good problem, but it is an issue that does need to be resolved. And I would encourage you to do it in advance. So how do you determine? You got two good churches. Could you make some sort of balance sheet? I don't think that would actually be inappropriate. The strength of the preaching, you can even put on the list the available teachings. How many classes are they offering? You should have worship on there. Which worship is the most biblical? Which one is loftiest? Which one is regulated the most by God? Not us and our preferences. Go through that list and then lovingly make a decision together. And perhaps You want to begin the conversation by saying, we're going to lay this out and we both need to be willing to say, I'll go to your church. If that doesn't happen, it's probably going to be a little tense. But if you're both willing to say, we need to go to the best church, praise God, we actually have an option. So let's work through it and let's make a decision together. And if you both have the attitude and heart of, I am going to defer to you, which should be the persistent heart of the married believer, then you're gonna pick the right church. And I will say this, when you do, commit to it. And when you hear a stinker of a sermon that Sunday, don't say to the spouse, see, I told you we should have gone to my church. Just dive in and go. Just be careful about that list. Just be careful about that. Well, the parking lot, the lines at that church need to be repainted. No, those don't. In fact, I would even say the facility probably shouldn't even be on that list. You can think about the kids and the programs, but that is not the primary driver. The primary driver is which church is most biblical. The expositing of the word. Do they practice church discipline? When was the last time that happened? Now, what is their theology statement? Take a look at their church polity. And if you're both willing to defer, you'll get it sorted. But sorted, you really have to. Because a married couple really should not be going to two separate churches. This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention Christians, are you tired of the world telling you to shut up? Well, we figured you were because we are too, and our response is not to shut up, but to speak up even louder. That's right, we are launching our biggest and boldest initiative ever, the Gospel Partners Media Fellows Program. It's our very own Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 straight shooting, theologically sound voices will be joining this ministry to create powerful podcasts, videos, resources, books, and webinars. And these men include people like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. John Kratz, and others. We are building a Christian Daily Wire, and we need your help in order to do it. Join our $250,000 match campaign by becoming a gospel partner today. All of the details you can find right now at wretched.org/fellows, and we can make a difference together. wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man,
Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you very much. This is Wretched Radio. You are responding so encouraged, so grateful. We currently have a $250,000 matching gift. Why would somebody provide that to encourage you to participate in our new initiative? We are launching a Lollapalooza September 1st. We are going to be adding, count them, 8 new voices to this ministry. 8 theologians who are going to speak into particular realms of the church, theological issues, societal issues, ethical issues. It is going to be a big, and we would be so grateful if you would partner with us to help us pull this off. It is a big undertaking. We want this to have a major impact. We've been working really hard. Sorry for playing that violin, but we really haven't, excitedly, because we want to use social media. We want to use electronic media to reach people. There's so much blech on there, but let's use it as a blessing that it can be by reaching people through TV and radio and social media. Join us if you can. Partner with us. And thank you if you already have. We are on our way. I didn't see the most recent number, but we're like 20 to 30% of the way there after a few days. Thank you. If you have not yet partnered with us, would you please consider doing so? You can just visit wretched.org. Don't you worry. You'll see it. Our new initiative, or wretched.org/donate. You can read who these people are who will be joining us. And I think you're going to be impressed, because they are impressive. And they're godly, and they're not harsh. They're all pastoral to the core, because we want to be right and loving. We don't want to be one or the other. We want to be both of those things. If you resonate with that, please visit wretched.org/donate. And while you're there, send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Zach. Todd, I have been very disrespectful when arguing with my girlfriend. How do I argue with her as a Christian?
You don't.
I can admit that I'm stubborn and don't like compromise. We both admit that there are problems on both sides, but I hate making her feel terrible when we argue.
No, you should. Mm-hmm. So stop it. There you go. Stop doing that. Now, you're not done. That would be just trying to control your behavior. I could guilt you. Hey, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's precious child. How dare you talk to that God glorifier in that way? I could do that to you, and that would be appropriate. And I presume you're feeling that, hence you feel bad about it. But you need new affections. You've recognized a shortcoming. That is step number one. And that's one of the most difficult steps right there. Wait a second, you mean I'm deficient? Whoa. None of us really love that idea. So I say, good on you, young man. You've recognized that the way that you are arguing is not good. Now, the question is, how are you going to fix it? The inclination would be to fix her. That's the wrong inclination. Your job is not to fix your spouse. Your job is to fix you and to assist your spouse in their walk of sanctification. God is after something in marriage. He's after something way more profound than just getting along, than just driving in a car without chilly silence. He's after sanctification. So you now are already seeing a blessing of what it means to be yoked with somebody in a one flesh union. How can you make these things better? You need to identify what you are doing as a sin. You need to repent. To the Lord, you need to repent to her. You need to go to her and tell her that you're sorry. I have been so sinful in treating you this way. And I am now going to commit to showing you that I am the man that you should happily say, I do too. I'm going to prove this to your father. I'm going to show your mother that I'm going to be a man that they can rely on and that they can know is protecting their daughter so they can sleep well at night. And then you got to go about the business of actually doing that. You need help with that. And guess what? You've got it. If you are a member of a local church and there's anybody there who has been married for a day, already knows more than you do, seek them out and solicit their wisdom to help you with this. And then I would also encourage you, start diving into your heart. Why do you get angry? What are you angry about? Why are you upset you're not getting your way? What's going on inside of that heart of yours? Is it pride? Is it just immaturity? Is it that you always insist on having your own way? What's in there? Do you have idols? What does God want to kill inside of you? Go find it and then get to work on mortifying it. But you need the most important thing. All of those aforementioned practical pieces of advice, they are right and they are needed. But the chief need that you have is to desire looking more like Jesus Christ, because he is the altogether lovely one. He's the one I want to please. He's the one I want to be more obedient to. He's the one that I want to love more. I want to do this because I love him. In other words, you need the expulsive power of new affections. It is never enough, ever. Pastor, this is a word. It's never enough to just go, hey, you got to stop treating that girl that way. Now, look, that word needs to be delivered. Make no mistake about it. That word needs to be delivered sometimes. But if we do not provide another paramour for the person, they're going to fall back to those ways because they like it. Right now, young man, you like arguing. You like it. You desire it, so you do it. Now, you can feel bad about it when it's done, but the reality is that's your desire. And we have a tendency to think, oh, no, I hate that. No. If you do it, you love it. You can say it all you want, but the reality is when we choose to do anything but the godly thing, we're choosing what we love. You need greater love for your Savior. Go to work on that. And guess what, God, it seems to me, is going to produce in you a more peaceable spirit. Consider the fruit. Love, joy, boom, there it is, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God wants to grow those in you, and he's going to use marriage to do that. But you're not married, so start now. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this question, it comes by text from Anonymous. Todd, how do you know if you're being a Berean, a Pharisee, or just sinfully critical?
You don't have any friends. You hate everything. You're agitated with everyone. There isn't a good church anywhere to be had on the entire planet. That means you've crossed the line. It's easy to do that. I get that. Because we have to hold a couple of things in tension. The Christian walk isn't just about one thing. I'm going to be a Berean. I'm going to be a Berean. You're going to be hypercritical in a heartbeat. And guess what? It is not just going to be about churches and pastors and sermons and preaching. It's going to be about the drive-through. It's going to be about the roads. It's going to be about the speed limit in my neighborhood. And it's going to be about that wife God gave me and these children. And you will have a critical spirit. And I'm telling you, it's so ugly. People don't. Who wants to be around that? We gotta avoid that. Now, here's the ditch. Okay, I won't judge nothing. I'm just gonna pretend everything is good. No, that's wrong response. We want to be good discerners. Hey, duh. Here's what you can do. This fall, we're going to be releasing a resource, Thou Shalt Judge. That's what it's going to be. We are to be judgers. We're just not called to be judgmental. I think it's about 16 lessons with Justin Peters. It's going to have a study guide. It's going to be written by Dr. Dana Snead from Up at Answers in Genesis. She does such outstanding work. And it is going to help you to find that balance, because you don't want to lose your Berean attitude. You just don't want your Berean attitude to consume you. Now, how do you know? How do you know when you're finding that balance? Ask people. Hey, do you think I'm judgmental? Do you think I'm censorious? Do you think I'm hypercritical? Let people help you, because you will be inclined, like I am, to give yourself a pass and to overlook it and think, well, I've gotten better. Well, that doesn't mean that you've arrived at that sweet spot of being a Berean who isn't a hypercritical jerk. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hex. Scotland is pumping the brakes on transgender treatments for minors. It's actually a bit of a surprise coming out of Scotland, isn't it? A youth gender clinic in Glasgow announced a pause on new prescriptions for puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for those under the age of 18. The report recommended extreme caution with cross-sex hormones for 16 to 17-year-olds and said puberty blockers should only be given in a research context due to impacts on brain and bone development. Pretty major change, of course, as Britain reevaluates its gender-affirming, nonsensical approach to children. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is upending women's sports, parental rights, and due process on campuses with sweeping changes to Title IX. Under the new rules, schools must now allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms based on their gender identity or how they felt when they awoke that morning. And biological males are going to be allowed to compete against females. The regulation also encourages schools to unconstitutionally curtail free speech in the name of preventing harassment, like punishing kids for using biologically correct pronouns. And it also undermines the parents' right to know if schools secretly affirm their child's transgender identity. Lawsuits obviously are certainly coming, but the damage to women's rights and free speech and fairness might just take years to undo. And here's another kicker. Biden's latest vote-buying scheme to cancel billions more in student loans overwhelmingly benefit the wealthy. Found that the $84 billion forgiveness plan, on top of last year's $500 billion income-based repayment overhaul, will especially help households earning over $300,000 annually. And those high-earning households stand to have about $25,000 wiped out on average. I thought progressives were all about harming the rich, not actually helping them. But I guess when it comes to bribing voters with loan bailouts, they'll do whatever it takes. Finally, a disturbing case out of Canada. A transgender military chaplain. I feel like those two words don't go together. Anyway, a transgender military chaplain has been suspended for inappropriate sexual comments or requests. The man, now living as a woman, was charged after military police investigated but found insufficient evidence for criminal prosecution. Just days earlier, the man was featured on the Transgender Day of Visibility, spouting off platitudes about diversity, making the armed forces stronger. But Mr. Chaplain, sir, yes, sir, when you replace the actual living God with your God of gender ideology, you do nothing but produce rotten fruit. Pretending is not something that will ever make sexual perversion something that's pure. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You have unlimited minutes. Why not use it to send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. Are there such a thing as a... Is that like a dated reference? I suspect it is. Are there any programs that limit the amount of minutes that you can talk?
I think when you have a prepaid phone. And
okay, would that be the limitation?
Yeah.
Wow. We just forgotten. Do you remember when, what did they call cell phones? Mobile phones, I believe they called them. They would go in your car.
Uh-huh.
And you paid by the minute.
Oh, and it was a big thing when they introduced rollover minutes.
I don't remember that.
From one month to the next.
You could still use them the next.
Right.
Ooh. Use your minutes. 877-282-2337. This is precisely why. Okay. So I'm working on a new book. Okay. I've been working on it for a bit. It's almost ready to go off to editing. But the publisher is saying, you got to lose all of those current references because in about a minute, they're going to be really dated. So if you want a book that can potentially be popular right now, red hot, okay. But if you want something that maybe people can go to the shelves in 5 years and not go, what's a rollover minute? Then lose the technology references, which, to bring it into the church, pastor, preach the word, focus on the... Preach a sermon that if you went back and preached it word for word in 10 years, it's still going to work. That, look, I'm not saying that a pastor can never use something that's contemporary because sometimes that is so needed because of the direct application. It is an affront to the church. It is an issue that we are all dealing with. I got that. But as a rule, try to keep your sermons evergreen. And consider, how is it that J. Vernon McGee is still on the radio? Sir, he's been dead for 30 years, still on the radio. R.C. Sproul, we lost him, what, 2-3 years ago? Still miss that guy, just seems like yesterday. He's still on the radio. Well, how can he, if he's not cutting edge and relevant? Because he preached the word. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Brandon. Recently, Todd, you rightly said we need to pray for those in authority, namely the president. So
there's going to be a conjunction.
So does this include imprecatory prayers? Is it right to pray curses on those who proudly and adamantly stand against God's word?
The answer is yes. There are rules that go with this game. Imprecatory prayers, I think, should be the last thing on our list. I think our initial petition for our rulers is salvation. That just fixes so much. It just solves so many problems. Lord, save them. Blow through Washington, D.C. Convict, convert, save our leaders. We would like to rejoice under the leadership of righteous people. Please save our rulers. Yep, you can pray. I think that should be the first cry. If you don't save them, Lord, grant them the wisdom they don't possess. Third, help them to make actual godly decisions. Even if they don't believe in you, help them to forward righteous legislation. I think those should be the passion. Lord, let us live peaceably. Please don't let our rulers come after us. All of those things are good. I think that what we see in the imprecatory Psalms, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, but it's in the book of Psalms, which is in the Bible. We see a progression. We see enemies. I'm not talking about political rulers who have an impact on us because of the type of government structure we have. These were enemies at the gate. And so initially, the psalmist is pleading like, Lord, if you could protect us, that would be great. Lord, they're getting closer. If you could stop, Lord, they're at the gate right now. Please make this end. Lord, kill them. They're coming. I think it needs to be that sort of imminent. Now, we, at least currently, don't have our government approaching our house with firearms to do us harm or to take over our property. Not yet. But we do see government leaders killing people, babies in particular. That is a war against the unborn. They are complicit. They do have blood on their hands, and they're doing it right now. Could you pray those aforementioned, Lord, save? I think those things should come first. But Lord, short of those things, do what needs to be done to remove those wicked people from power. Whatever your choice is, Lord, you are the avenger. You are the one who always executes justice rightly. So I'm not going to prescribe a method to God, but I can ask him, please remove that person from power. They're killing people. Please get them out of their chair of authority. And then, of course, you could go support Preborn Ministries at preborn.org/wretched, because the war on children, it continues. The prescription medic, you don't need a prescription anymore to kill your baby in the womb. I think even Costco is now doling out this stuff. Walgreens, where people can take the life of their child. We need to be supporting Preborn just as much now as before Roe v. Wade was overturned, because the battle continues, because there are still evil men and women in power who forward legislation that intentionally goes about the business of taking an innocent human life. Preborn.org/wretched. There's more praying and doing that you could do, though, with these types of individuals. You can go about the business of responding to them to create a culture that becomes increasingly vocal about insisting on righteous leaders. In other words, if you preach the gospel, more people will get saved and more people will join your chorus. Because not only can we pray, we should, we're commanded to pray for our rulers. Imprecatory prayers, they are definitely available to us, but I don't think it should stop there. I think we need to go about the business of preaching to them. Our message to them is, you wicked politician, you're killing babies. You are slaughtering children. Oh, you can come up with semantics and call it women's health care. You know that you are taking the life of children. There's another form of wickedness these days. The mutilating, not just of children, but of adults who are very confused about their bodies. That's evil. That's wickedness. And you need to repent, or you are going to face a very angry God on Judgment Day. And I wouldn't want to be in your laced up shoes with your leather satchel sitting in a position of power on Judgment Day for all the money in the world. That is our message to politicians that are being wicked. Repent. 877-282-2337.
All right, this one is from Deborah. Todd, I am a Christian and hurt my back. Physical therapy sent me home with stretches to do and some yoga. I didn't realize this till later. Is it okay to do this for strictly exercise?
When you say do yoga, mm-hmm. did they tell you to cross your legs, touch your middle finger and your thumb and go, I doubt it. Yoga is a religious practice. It's really easy to get it kind of confused in our brains, because you see these yoga places all over. Oh, so they're doing yoga. Oh, so that's yoga. And many of them, they're just stretching. The religious component isn't there. So I wish that these places would just call themselves stretches instead of yoga, because yoga must involve an emptying of the brain, a repetition of a mantra to get rid of all of your desires so you can become connected to the divine nothingness. That's yoga. So, okay. So here's one for you. Jimmy, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I like bread. And I like grape juice, okay. And it's the stuff in the grape juice really good for me. And I need the carbs, mm-hmm. Kind of bulk up a little more. But can I be doing that if that's communion?
On your own?
No, I'm eating bread like with dinner, and I like a side of grape juice. Can aren't I doing communion? You'd go, no, you're not. You're drinking grape juice and having some bread. Maybe fed that to your kid for lunch today. That's not communion. Ditto. If you're just stretching, you're not doing yoga. If you go to these classes, there's plenty of people. This isn't pragmatism, but I've observed plenty of people have been helped by these different stretches. So do them. I mean, You can go watch a stretching video that does the exact same positions on the YouTube machine, and they don't call it a double down dog upside belly flopper or whatever the term is. It's just a stretch because it really helps separate the hips to make sure that you don't get all creaky and you walk balanced in one. That ain't yoga. So do your stretches. Call them stretches. Reject the yoga label. And if they do attach a spiritual component, well, then it's time to jettison that practice and just stick with stretching. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today, and I have got some exciting news to share with you. Gospel Partners Media soon will look a bit different. Imagine this, a Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 powerful voices are joining our ministry, and they will be creating compelling content that's going to speak truth into this darkened culture. I'm talking about certified biblical counselors like Pastor Brad Bigney. He'll be hosting a podcast on marriage and family. But that's not all. We also have incredible thinkers like Pastor Tim Challis, Dr. Adam Tyson, and you've already been listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is where you come in because we're right now currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you are able to give will be double. But look, this isn't just about money. It's about partnership. So will you join us in this new chapter? Just visit wretched.org/donate right now to get all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4 available now at wretched.org/4.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you see it, send it. That sounded like a government slogan. This is Wretched Radio. If you see something, say something.
Yeah.
If click it or tick it. You know that see something, say something?
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a fine line between being a good citizen who sees something like a building is on fire and calls 911 versus being a tattletale and calling out your neighbor for this or that, because that is typically a mark of a, let's just say, non-capitalistic society. That tends to be communistic. That tends to be totalitarian. And I've been seeing that more. Oh, it was in California that Governor Newsom,
yep.
Here's the number where you can tattle on your neighbors. Thank you, Chairman Newsom. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question comes from Caleb. He's 12.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Yep, he's wondering, Todd, what are your thoughts about listening to hymns sung by nine Christian singers?
It really depends on a lot of things. Let's consider two different realms and at least two types of people. The two realms would be public and private. To sing these songs publicly, I believe, is to give an endorsement. It sends a message to everybody in the congregation. We're okay with the Hillsong Bethel Elevation folks. That is a very bad message to send. Might a Christian be able to sing something that passes a theological sniff test that's written by a wonky group privately? Perhaps. I personally don't feel comfortable doing that. And I think you're going to have two different types of Christians. Some are going to be like, absolutely not. No, I can do that because it's sound. And I'm not sending an endorsement message to anybody because I'm just singing along in my car. Furthermore, it also depends on the group that you're talking about, the theologians that have been writing these songs. Are they current? Are they contemporary? Or it was some guy from 200 years ago who wrote something great. Horatio Spafford comes to mind, wrote something great and then apostatizes. The line that I never like singing in this song, and then it's always the line that gets stuck in my head, so sorry, I'm going to do it to you too. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I hate that line. I hate that line because that is the last feeling I ever want to have. The author was feeling that, and guess what? He did leave Zoink Scoop. So can I sing that song? Well, I don't sing that line, frankly. But personally, I don't think singing a song that is theologically sound from a guy from 200 years ago disqualifies it for either private or public worship. So I think the maturity of the voice that's singing it and the context need to be considered. As a general rule, why? There's such good stuff. There is such fine music out there. Well, Love Divine or Love Excelling. Wow. We're going to be singing that on Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. Whoa. Let's sing the stuff from people that don't have any sort of scandalous past or theology that is rich and profound and good. We just don't need it. I know the temp. It's really popular. Everybody's singing it. Yeah. So what? We've got options. And young man, way to go, dude. You're ahead of your peers. Press on. 877-282-2337.
Right, this question comes by text from Hunter. Todd, I don't live in a large city. I live in a community where if you don't know someone, your friend does. I feel on my heart right now to preach the gospel to those around me, but I don't know how to start. How can I throw the conversation to one of the good news or about the Savior?
Well, you just got to be thinking. That's all there is to it. Just think. You can turn a secular conversation into the sacred realm with virtually anything. Look, sometimes it can get goofy. I get that. But you give me a prop. You give me something. And if I'm just thinking, and look, clearly I'm not the deep end of the pool. Because I want to. That's my goal. I'm thinking about these things. They say something. Is there any way that I could steer that into a more ethereal direction? And you will be shocked at how easy it is. I don't think the issue is how do you do it. Here's what I find is the struggle, at least for me. Whew. Like Paul, with fear and much trembling, he came to the Corinthians. It's always a bit of a scary endeavor. It really can be. I get that, but I need to work on overcoming that all the time. And I've kind of figured out a way for me. You should figure it out for you, because usually the challenge in engaging in an evangelistic conversation isn't how to get there, but the desire and the willingness to swallow hard and just go there. Be thinking. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, a text that came in. Todd, is it sinful to have a pet peeve?
It depends on what it is. It depends on the peeve, I suppose. Got to be careful that it's something that it. First of all, you got to define what you mean by pet peeve. What's the attitude? If it's a sinful attitude, well, no, you can't have that. But what is the issue? Is it something like the way your spouse
leaves the cabinet doors open?
But we haven't concluded that's not a sin.
That's right.
When it's my issue, it tends to be a sin because it really is a pet peeve. You need to be careful. There can be things that rightly provoke you. But we want to make sure that it is a provocable offense or it's a provocable issue. Think sin preferences. Category of sin, category of preferences. If it's a preference, all right, this will sound maybe a little extreme, but I don't think we should have agitating feelings because somebody does something differently. I think if you're going to be ultimately mature, those things wouldn't rankle you. But when we see sin like Jesus, we can be stirred. We can be troubled inside because it is sin. So if you keep the categories of sin and preference correct, and always remember, we got to examine what it is. Why is this bugging me? It's always an opportunity. You got a pet peeve, ask yourself why. Why does that bug me? A lot of time, you're going to trace it back to your family of origin. A lot of time, you're going to trace it to just personal preference stuff. So keep the categories distinct because it can be right to be righteously angry. Peevish? Not so much. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jeff. Todd, I feel that my conscience has become a little too strong. Mm. I'm not as tender as it used to be.
Yep.
What do I do?
Yep, that is, first of all, well done that you recognize it. Want to be super careful with this because sin is always afoot. And we should be always wanting to battle against it. And we never want to give ourselves a pass. But simultaneously, as you mature and as you grow in wisdom, you're going to start to realize, well, maybe that wasn't so sinful or that isn't so detrimental. I can handle that. Now, most likely, you're not going to be able to sort that. You're going to struggle with that because we all have a tendency to presume the best about ourselves. Let others help you. Let others help you. If you're wondering, hey, is my conscience dull? I'm watching this on Netflix. Should I be more troubled? And if somebody goes, yeah, well then, you need to be more mindful of how much your God detests sin. But they might say to you, if you're at this level, I think that it could be okay for you to watch this, but here's perhaps some caveats. It's sort of like reading a book by a bad teacher. Can you read a book by a false teacher? Oh, you can. Should you? Maybe not, because you're not strong enough, you're not mature enough to handle it, and you're going to bite on it, and you're going to discover a false teaching hook underneath, and you could be dragged away. So it depends. The best way to make sure your conscience is being moderated, your conscience should be maturing. And at some point, you are going to recognize, hey, I used to be really uptight about this, but I've noticed you've got to examine it. And always ask somebody to be engaged in that process because you might have a propensity to gauge it wrongly. Jimmy?
Yep.
I Googled.
What'd you Google?
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Verse 4. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Oh,
Not even close.
Not even in the same ballpark. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.